Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here on a special edition of the nonprofit Unscripted Show with Queen Michelle of the History and Genealogy Society in America, FULA. So I want to get a taste of your history, Queen Michelle. Tell us where you've been and then where you're headed.
Thank you so very much, Jeremy. It's so good to see you. I like your background. hi, everybody. I am Queen D. Michelle, and I am the founder of FULA History and Genealogy Society in America. Now, I have three nuggets of wisdom that I'd like to share with you that I've learned during my 63 years of living. But before I do, I want to qualify why I can. Okay. I am a retired elementary and middle school teacher, 27 years. I'm a light worker, a way shower, a frequency code holder, a new earth representative, an author, a blogger, a sage, and a creator. And I did a thing. I did a thing. And I want to talk to you about that. But I want to start off sharing these nuggets with you. Now, here's the very first one. Oh, and before I tell you the first nugget, I also want to qualify that I am a U.S. citizen and a permanent resident of Mexico, and I'm returning to Guinea-Bissau, West Africa in 2028 to receive my citizenship there, as I've proven through African ancestry DNA testing that, maternally speaking, that my original bloodline originated in the country of Guinea-Bissau with the Fula tribe. Hence, when I returned from Africa, I took a trip there and stepped foot in my ancestral village. And it was from that trip that I returned and created FULA History and Genealogy Society in America. And one of its tenets is to raise awareness about generational trauma. And it has something to do with this thing I did also when I got back, besides the nonprofit. All right. So first nugget, to listen carefully to this and see if this resonates with you. The matrix cares not about the quality of your life and your purpose here. It only cares about the quantity of it and how much you can give over to the system. You owe no one or no thing your life. That's nugget number one. Okay. Nugget number two. It's a proven fact that trauma, generational trauma, is passed down through DNA. Now, the good news is, if trauma can be passed down through DNA, which it is, then healing can be passed up. On to that one. Okay. Now, I'm gonna go a little bit further with healing. The first step in opening up to healing is the awareness that and acceptance that generational trauma even exists. You know, that's, you have to be open to that. Then with that understanding, one becomes open to receiving that which can't be tangibly touched or felt or even tasted. All right. It's happening without one even being aware of it, the healing, just like one is not aware of the trauma. Now, I created a social, emotional learning and emotional intelligence program called 52 Insights for Gen Alpha, a conscious curriculum. Now, I piloted that program in two middle schools during the 2024-25 school year. And that's where the third nugget comes in. I learned so much going back into the classroom. I retired in 2015, So I've been out of the classroom for like 10 years, right? So I'm stepping back in with this program. This is after pandemic. And I do want to qualify that I've taught across the country. I'm certified in Michigan, in Nevada, and in Georgia. I've taught private, public, charter, magnet. I've been an assistant principal, a principal, a teacher. So my career, the stepping back into the classroom, I was quite shocked. I know how it is. And, you know, in the classroom teachers, but what I saw and what I witnessed kind of really brought me full circle as it relates to Generation Alpha. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, because at first, this program was geared toward them. Stepping back in the classroom, witnessing what I did. Oh, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. It would have to be. Generation Alpha was born between 2010 and 2024. The oldest of that generation just turned 13 last year. She's the oldest of Generation Alpha. They are the first generation to be born fully in the 21st century. That means that generation has been clicking and swiping since infancy. They are in spaces and on platforms that their parents don't understand. They are in spaces and in platforms that is free from parental influence. Understand that they've only been taught, for the most part, externally. And they are a different breed. And I don't blame the millennials or those X's that got in a little late, you know, neglecting to understand that overstimulation and that exposure externally that they've been receiving since infancy has deregulated their nervous system and really disrupted their emotional well-being, their emotional intelligence. This is what I learned when I did the pilot. See if you can follow me here.
Absolutely.
Unconscious. Okay, here we go. Unconscious cannot teach consciousness. Unconscious cannot teach consciousness. And what I mean by that is that you can't take someone on a journey that you have yet to be on yourself. Teachers are not equipped to take students on a journey that they have not yet taken themselves. We are all on different levels on the spectrum of emotional intelligence, right? Because of our family dynamics, our environment, our individualized programming and conditioning, and even our diet, right? Adults and families who work with Generation Alpha, I cannot demonstrate, teach, or equip them with the emotional self-regulating tools necessary to navigate their world because they are in need of those same tools themselves.
Fair enough.
Okay? They are in need of those same tools themselves. And where generation, check out the name Alpha. Alpha is beginning. They will be the largest generation in the history of the world. They are responsible for the conscious evolution of humanity. They are extremely, extremely important. And what they're not being given right now are the tools to navigate the world in which they're going. We're not going. I mean, for the most part, but where they're going, you know, it's this evolved consciousness, if you will. There's an evolved, that old character education program that we were so in tune with, you know, caring and sharing and responsible and, you know, to be a good citizen. My program has evolved from that. And now it's putting tools that equip them to navigate their external world. Now, I'm excited to be on your show because this was the second tenet of my nonprofit. It was to create, establish, and promote educational materials for the upliftment and enhancement of Generation Alpha. And now when I witness what I witnessed, I'm repiloting this program. The second very important thing I learned while doing the pilot was that I needed to integrate AI into the curriculum in order for it to even be consumable and marketable. And so I took a class. I learned the most cutting edge, innovative AI model that fits my curriculum. And I've partnered with one of the number one LMS platforms in the country, CyberLearning. And I'm piloting this program online. 'Cause here's the thing. Since we're all on different levels, you know, in spaces on that spectrum, that journey that we take is personal. It's a personal journey. You know what I'm saying? It's not a group trip. It's not a group. And that was the biggest wake up call for me, was going into classrooms, seeing where everybody, including the teacher who's putting out fires all day. That's all they do all day long, is put out fires all day long. And then here I come in with this, give them this tool, you know, to begin regulating their nervous, give them this tool so they'll be able to, they don't even have the tools. They need the tools. So now in the fall, in September, I have 100 spots available. They're going to go through just a portion, not the whole program, because it's a year's program, but they will do 28 weeks. It's free. And what happens is they'll take their Myers-Briggs like personality tests at the beginning of the program, and then they're set off on their own individual paths. There are no tests, there's no quizzes, there's no group anything. This is an individual journey that one takes inward, gathering the tools necessary, and through that adaptive learning model, they're met where they are. And they go through the five, I guess you could say, pillars of the social emotional framework that's been in existence forever, since school. And we're talking about relationship skills, self-management, social awareness. Did I say relationship skills? Social awareness. Anyway, it's five pillars, and each one of those is a path that they'll go on personally, and they'll make their plate the way they want. It's self-paced, it's 100% online, and it's a journey, and they come out on the other side of that. I know that this program is impactful, and that it's needed, and that I came forth for a time such as this. And I'm really, really excited about it. So what I'm working on right now is just getting the word out that the pilot is starting September 8th. I'm trying to gather participants, starting with Gen Alpha. It's for 13 through seniors. And I want Gen Alpha. I want teachers, counselors, social workers, SEL specialists, parents, grandparents, anybody who's sowing into the lives of Generation Alpha. You need these tools just as they need these tools as you rock in this new way of being and where we're headed. You know, it's an evolved curriculum, so evolved that it can't even be in the classroom. It has to be online, and it has to be personal. Well, it's a personal journey.
That leads me to my first question, which thank you for the introduction. There's a lot there to unpack.
No, right?
I usually, you know, when I have something, I let people, you know, say what they're going to say and then hold my finger. Now I've got, I don't have enough fingers to come back. So hopefully I'll remember these different points. But the first one that comes to mind is kind of a challenge, you know, based off of your history as a teacher. And this is like my own inward conviction as somebody. I was homeschooled, I did private school, and then went public school. And I left public school when I was in second grade, and I rejoined in 11th grade. And I had peers when I came back, and they could not read. And, you know, since then, you know, I felt heavily convicted, and I tried to put my daughter into public school when we first started, but, and then we tried private school, but COVID hit right when she was supposed to restart a hands-on Waldorf school. And it was ironic because everything about Waldorf was like, hey, you need to turn off screens at home and you can't do this. You know, you got to limit screen time and everything we do is personal, one-on-one. COVID hit and they're like, here's a tablet, show it to her and we'll do the Waldorf class remotely. And you're like, what the dickens? This is completely opposite of what you sold us like before this hit. So we went on a crazy journey ourselves for, you know, homeschooling for her and struggling with, you know, reading and dyslexia challenges, and only discovered like 2 years ago that she had like a literal eye issue. She had to get special glasses to help with and we didn't realize that was why it was holding up her reading process as normal. Because her brother was, you know, half her age. He was reading much faster than she was, but she's like consuming college grade level audiobook material. So like there's something in the gap in that process. But my question for you is a conviction that I've always had, that scale is the enemy of social structure. And what we've done is through pop culture, we've created this mythology that everybody needs to go to high school, and high school is divided by grade, and you're grouped in with 30 of your peers and given one person for hours at a time that cannot possibly divide their attention for, you know, 30 different ways to keep you to a subject material where you're at, you know, one of 30 different places. So the systemology behind mass education has been fundamentally flawed. And honestly, with COVID, we flubbed it. We had a chance to destroy the real estate empire that we've purchased ourselves into. And they were more concerned about returning butts into seats than realizing, hey, we had an opportunity to do neighborhood-based pod collectives. If you're worried about systematic spread of diseases, well, if you're only exposed to three other children in your neighborhood, maybe five per teacher, it could have been distributed across the country. Yeah. We could have sold all of the expensive, overpriced real estate that we have to upkeep and turned it into a mobile societal shift for education that could fit child to child.
Because what did you call it? You called it it was fundamentally flawed.
Yes.
It's fundamentally flawed. But then, like I said, when I stepped back in the classroom, mind you, I retired in 2015. When I stepped back in, it was so, and I mean, I have a foot in there, but what I saw said, oh, it's not happening in the classroom anymore. It's not happening. I don't know how to better say it's not happening in the classroom anymore, and especially public school. Especially public school. It is, and Jeremy, I don't know about you, but I think it's by design. What you think?
I can't help but think that there are aspects of it that are by design. I've met the most loving, like my aunt-in-law, my wife's aunt. She was a 30-40 year educator, and we'd go you know, we'd meet on vacation, and she'd talk all about these education things, and I could tell that she has a pure heart for it. She know really designed these things. Any threat at all to the establishment is immediately rejected. Everything is a threat, and when everything is a threat, you can't evolve, you can't adapt, and you have to defend every aspect of what you know, after questioning, you know, on the surface, anything you suggest is rejected. But eventually, with enough conversation, it'll bubble up. Oh, yeah, you know, the classroom sizes are a problem. But yeah, the curriculum choices at the state level don't make any sense. The focus on testing methodology as an educational system doesn't work. Sending home 1 to 4 hours of homework every night after we've had kids for 8 hours in the day is a reflection.
Started them at 7 in the morning. That's right.
It's a reflection. When are they supposed to do anything? with their lives? When are they supposed to relax? We're not meant to be turned on like a light bulb. Like,
Jeremy, this is when exactly we wake up
and just go and keep your light on the entire time. So the question for you is, do you see something different from how I was raised from in the millennial generation? You know, I started with no digital exposure whatsoever, or remember growing up with a landline. And we got a personal computer. We got a 486, 386, you know, cell phones. And just the pace of technology has taken off. Is that it? Is it just technology? And the way we've incorporated it into our lives has just so altered how our kids interact, how we emotionally become dysregulated? Or are there other factors that I'm not seeing?
I truly, if there's any other factor, it is so minute that it doesn't move the scale like technology. Now, you said I came in when, you know, as a millennial. Well, here you're talking to a baby boomer. Now, get this. The TV went off at a certain time. At midnight, the Pledge of Allegiance, the American, song,
Star Spangled Banner.
The Star Spangled Banner came on, and then color lines came in, and it went off. Everybody go to bed. Everybody sleep. I mean, and if you're up, you're not watching TV. Okay. Uh-huh. It went off. Sesame Street went off. Okay. It went off. And then there was these other elements now. But here's the thing. By the time Generation Alpha got here, nothing went off. It's 24/7, nonstop. Nothing goes off. Nothing goes on the screen, and it deregulates and we don't have all the answers or the scientific fact. And again, like I said, when the millennials saw their kids clicking and swiping and, oh, shoot, I can't get my paper done. Oh, shoot, I can't get it did. And at the same time, I'm not feeling guilty because they're learning. They're learning. So I'm, you know, so, and at the same time, millennials trying to keep up. Because like you said, first it was this, then it was that, then it was this, and now you're grown in your workplace, and now things, and you got to grow, and this, and you look over and you got a kid, but oh, wow, cool. Okay, technology, they're learning, cool. So I'm going to keep it going. They're going to keep it going. And it's been kept going. And now we're here. And that's what I'm saying. The curriculums have not evolved even for what needs to be done. But at this point now, we're in a space where this has to take place outside of those four walls. This is personal. Because we're all so over the place in here that it has to be a personal to be able to put it on and listen. Sometimes they're not reading, you know, a lot of, you know, starting at 13, what have, they're not reading. So, you know, my program, you can either read it or you can listen to it. And then the exercises and the practices is personal. It's just for, they don't have to share it with anyone. You don't have to share it with anyone. It's just your ability to chew the grass and spit the sticks. You know, what's supposed to resonate will, and what needs to fall off will. But this is a personal, journey through those five, frameworks of social emotional learning. So yeah, I if it is anything other than technology, mm-hmm. it's not enough to move the scale. I wouldn't say so at all.
It's such a kick in the pants, you know. Like I've got two kids, one's 13 and one's 6, and you know,
Gen Alphas. You got Gen Alphas.
I do.
You do.
And it is challenging because I can see you know, like I have chosen at different times to like be like, you know what? We're not watching YouTube anymore ever in our house. We're moving it from every single surface. It is not coming back. We are done. Donezo.
Yeah.
Just because I can feel the emotional dysregulation building up. Is mm-hmm, there something mm-hmm. about in specific about the way that we've created a feedback loop of content creation that is so dopamine centric, so such a replacement for, you know, thought? Like you have these stream of consciousness YouTubers who are like, oh, and then so I opened up Minecraft and I created a cabin and look, I walked over to the corner and I picked up, oh my gosh, I've never seen this diamond axe. Have you seen a diamond axe? And then this guy came along and like there's this, it's a YouTube voice. I call it a YouTube voice, you know, where it's like, and there's no space for thought. It's just feed. This happens. This happens. This happens. It's constant to keep them hooked in to whatever's happening and never releases.
Jeremy, that is absolutely the case. And it's this is global, sweetie. This is just not us. This is global. So yes, and I'm telling, I believe that this is by design. And if we don't get in there and hand them, because there's nothing we can teach. Because we are all here, honestly, for our own experiences. Yes, you're a parent. You're going to raise them, but then they're going to go off and they're going to have their own journeys and lessons and experiences. And, you know, because that's what we're here to do. And with that, if we just give them the tools to know how to regulate what's being deregulated, they'll keep those tools from them. You know, they'll keep them from, why would we do that? That's one of the reasons why you wouldn't find meditation in a school, you know, a class. You're not going to find it there because that is one of the number one deregulators. I mean, would help to regulate the deregulation. So teach you that? Absolutely. Are you? No way. Absolutely not. And it has to be by design, Jerry. Think about it. When it comes to technology, when it comes to food, when it comes to diet, when it comes to water, when it comes to brushing our teeth, when it comes, you know, I heard, and I didn't run down that rabbit hole, and I'm not trying to go down a rabbit hole, but just recently, it came across my awareness that they didn't start saying that we need to drink 8 glasses of water a day until 1945. That's when it 8 ounces of, you know, became in 1945, because that's when they did what? Put fluoride. They put fluoride in the toothpaste, you know, and fluoride and, you know, in the water to just very small, minute things that can keep one dysregulated. As you get older, distracted. Just enough. I'm more than anything for me, I feel is by design, but I got them because again, I came for a time such as this. So this, I invite your listening audience to take a look at, I'll give you my website, and they can click on 52 Insights and register. It's free for the fall, a pilot program, and see if this, cause I know it's going to, I just need participants to participate. And I would love it if you go ahead and have, you know, and invite your daughter, go over to the website, fill it out and, register, and we'll get this thing popping. September 8th, is when, it starts, September 8th.
Well, I'm part of a growing homeschool co-op and a homeschool tutorial program that we're starting here in Cookeville, Tennessee called Cedars of Lebanon. And, Josie, our director, you know, she bifurcated, like separated out and said, okay, we're going to have these tutorial sessions, but we want half of it to be sensory, you know, because We want to have that those hands-on experiences as well as, you know, some of the hardcore curriculum required of
Of course, absolutely.
You know, like it's never about like abandoning, you know, oh, you know, it's all touchy-feely type of stuff. It's the super conservative pushback. No, you can't have meditation. You want them to meditate on their navels. No, they need to be, you know, focused. And but it's funny to me how much opportunity there is outside of the strictures of, you know, what we're told education needs to look like. So
exactly.
Definitely go and check out the program.
Yeah, because it's evolved. It's an evolved.
Yeah, and I like the idea too.
Curriculum.
Like I use LLM technology. I use Claude Code. I use Claude Desktop in my work all the time. So I could definitely see the utility of having an interface that customizes and understands, you know, puts the material at the level of their entry point. And that's something where
and then take them on a journey.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I like that flexible, more flexible framework because, you know, I've tried to go through different books with Noel at different times for, you know, learning this and learning that. And, you know, it's difficult. So I appreciate the nuance and the attempt to do something a little bit different, recognizing the need and adapting.
Yes, recognizing the need.
Adapting the technology that's disrupting us to do some disruption for good.
Yes. Jeremy, you got it. I appreciate you. And I appreciate this conversation more than you know. Very, very excited.
For my listeners, I'm going to go ahead and put these links in the show notes. I'm going to give you a chance to close out, Queen, and give any final thoughts that you want to leave somebody listening with a separate action item, something they can do to bring a little bit of emotional regulation to themselves or their Gen Alpha kid if they're listening.
Awesome. And I don't want to pull out the big gun, but I'm going to pull it out because it can be, you can take baby steps with the big gun. Okay. The big gun, Jeremy, is meditation. Baby steps is guided. No one, where we are in this dense environment of energy, it's really hard to just, okay, I'm going to meditate. No one can do that, right? One has to be guided. You have to be guided. Guided inward. And it just doesn't happen one time. 9 years ago, I took a 21-day meditation challenge with Oprah and Deepak. They were doing a 21-day challenge, meditation challenge, but it was guided. After the 21 days, Jeremy, I never stopped. Never stopped. Being introduced to the inner, because as is inner, it's outer, and to be able to be guided to now live, move and have your beingness consciously is conscious decision making, right? It's consciously moving through your relationships. It's consciously being socially aware. It's conscious. See, and that's what they would rather not have you be, is conscious. Why don't you stay unconscious? Stay asleep. We got this. We're driving, but meditation will is the big gun and it's hard. So you start, I suggest to your readers, guys, listen, you too, I know, right? But they have a plethora of guided meditations. You know, you can't go in there by yourself. You can't. It's too vast, you know, and it's too much out here to get you settled in there by yourself, you know? It's like letting a 3-year-old loose in a zoo. You know, you can't do that. Someone has to hold your hand. Someone has to guide you in. Not once, not twice, maybe 3-4. I don't know how many times until your soul self says, hey, I got her. Or, hey, I got him. Pull you in and That, Jeremy, that's the game changer. When you begin consciously living from within out. Oh, that's the sweet spot. In the big gun, I'm leaving your audience with, if they never get over to see my website or to sign up for the pilot program, Quincy, to sign up for the pilot program, encourage you to look into making meditation a part of your daily routine in some way, shape, or form, and start with a guided. Start guided. And then I wish you well on your journey inward.
Thank you so much for sharing all of your insights. Show notes in this full episode will be up on the website, and everything linked in the show notes. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Jeremy, for having me and putting up with my little man back there. That's Quincy.
That's why we call it unscripted. It's staying in.
Oh,
Quincy is staying in. All right. See you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, hon. Bye-bye.